Welcome, fellow citizens, to the Divided Kingdom cutting-edge news program here at WWCR.com and on that shortwave 4.840 megahertz Thursdays at 8 p.m., repeating on Saturdays, 8 a.m., on 7.490 megahertz. We can also be heard at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. Our newest venue is KStarTalkRadio.com on Saturdays at 5 p.m. or Sundays, 10 a.m. The call-in number to hear our program on KStar Talk Radio is 1-605-562-5330. That's 1-605-562-5330. And normal phone charges will apply. Tonight, our program, brought to you by Elizabeth Coppett Cavalli and me, Lou Cavalli, is entitled Election Day Exposé, Secrets Revealed.
This is Elizabeth Coppett Cavalli. We are apparently in the eye of the hurricane, a deceptive calm before all hell breaks loose around us. This was the headline Wednesday, November 4th at Fox News. Democrat Mark Kelly secures Arizona Senate seat. To giving in to the incumbent McSally. This time, listeners, you know, you've heard Lou. He stumbles occasionally when I've written something. He wrote this, and I couldn't really read that last word, and I believe it is ousts. Yes, Mark Kelly secures Arizona Senate seat, ousts incumbent McSally. Kelly had McSally 53%. He led her to 53% to 46%, with 82% of the expected votes counted, as of early Wednesday morning, the AP reported. While Kelly assured his supporters that he was confident in the election's preliminary results, the McSally for Senate campaign did not concede, with not all votes counted. Now, I'm going to add that watching Fox News after midnight, I, along with Fox's key election commentators, Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, I was stunned when their so-called decision desk reported that Biden had won in Arizona. Visibly nervous, the decision desk spokesman stammered his standard deviation rationale and muttered, "I'm sorry." Puzzled, Baer said, "You don't have to be sorry." What was the truth? With reports also of the Arizona governor and incumbent Senator Martha McSally refusing to concede, were there more than 80,000 votes not yet counted? And, you know, we're going to interject here that this has demoralized a lot of people who are watching Fox. They think that everything is over. No, the fat woman hasn't sung yet. And Lou pointed out to me something. You said they really cannot just rush those numbers and change Biden into the electoral votes needed before every last vote is counted. Isn't that what you told me?
That's exactly right. You can't. You know, you can predict and predict and predict, but until all the votes have been counted, nothing is absolutely certain.
And you see, the viewer was made to feel that this was a closed case. And right before we began this program being taped for all of you, we saw again a commentator on Fox saying, I think this was from their decision desk, that it would be very hard, almost impossible, to change anything now in Arizona. So, you see, we must not be susceptible to giving in. We know who's in charge, and that is God Almighty. And later in this program, we want you to do your part and pray. Pray with faith. Pray with belief. Because we do know that despite our lack of repentance in general in America, and despite some of the most degrading, horrible things going on, there are still millions of good Christian families who love their children, and they don't endorse the degradation and the evils and the abominable abortion mills. We think that God can triumph, but you know, you have to have faith and you have to pray that he will foil the evil ones when the final thing comes. And I have to admit, I was kind of down. I thought, oh, maybe it is over. Till Lou pointed this out. Lou's a mathematician, and it's important that we realize that there is time, and God can do things yet. I'm not saying that Biden will not be declared the winner. Perhaps God is allowing that to come on us, but we can pray, and we can express our love to God, and we can express our repentance. So last time you heard us, Lou and I were revealing the dark secrets of people like Hillary Clinton, said to be angling for Secretary of Defense under a Biden administration, and her involvement in Benghazi, along with the allegations about the SEAL Team 6 deaths. Kamala Harris is keeping prisoners locked up illegally to do cheap penal work like fighting fires for $2.50 a day. And finally, Joe Biden himself involved with Hunter Biden's ex-wife's questionable D.C. volunteer lawyer organization, with its scandal of a lawyer propositioning a teenager there and allegedly holding, quote, parties for boys at his home. And you heard the rambling words from a sound clip of Joe Biden discussing the rape of men as described in late poet James Dickey's vile book, Deliverance. And I think right now, Lou, there's something else. We keep hearing all the time Trump being put down that he didn't love our soldiers enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think you should just find that piece right now about what Biden said. I think all is fair in love and war, and this is war. Do you see where that is, Lou?
I do, yes.
All right, let's get that right now.
This was entitled Video Surfaces of Biden Calling Troops Stupid Bastards When They Won't Clap, Friday, September 25th, Natural News. In 2016, Joe Biden called U.S. troops stationed in Southeast Asia stupid bastards and a dull bunch. And we don't need to trust anonymous sources in the Atlantic to believe it, since he said it on a recently resurfaced recording. I have incredibly good judgment, says Biden. One, I married Jill, and two, I appointed Johnson to the Academy. I just want you to know that. When nobody reacts, Biden adds, clap for that, you stupid bastards. He then calls the soldiers a drunk bunch.
I think it's a dull bunch.
Yes, you're right. I was going to correct that. A dull bunch. Adding, it must be slow here, man. And it says you can actually watch that video if you go to the website.
Yes, I think that struck me, you know, Lou.
Yeah.
I realized it was dull and not drunk because he's so dull himself.
Yeah, that fits. And that video, posted in 2017, is from an appearance in front of the 380th Air Expeditionary Wing on March the 7th, 2016. And comes weeks after President Trump was accused of calling troops losers and suckers. The account has been refuted by at least 21 sources, that is to say Trump's quotations they're referring to there, but that didn't stop Biden from turning it into a campaign ad.
And you know, we also see something, Lou. Actions do speak louder than words many times. Trump's real love of the young men and women who have been sent over to those endless Middle East wars, the love is there because he's trying to bring all of the troops home from Afghanistan. And we saw this piece, it was written by the other side, about him being there in Arlington with his former chief of staff, General John Kelly, at Kelly's son's grave there in Arlington. And Trump reportedly said, I don't see what they had in it. In other words, what did they gain out of it? There is that bereft general without his son. Were those wars worth it? Was the opium poppy fields being guarded enough of a rationale? Poor Pat Tillman, he'd wanted to come back and tell the truth about it, but he was killed by, quote, friendly fire. So we are telling all of you, and we really hope that you will pray with Lou later with your deepest hearts and souls. Any person, any man or woman of decency of any kind of character, even if you're an atheist and you care about other people, you would have to look at what happened this summer in all of the blue cities. You would have to look and at what's going to happen if all the fossil fuel can be taken away. You would have to really look, and you would have to know that there is a diabolically Luciferian engine here at work, ramrodding, pushing, insisting that it will overcome men and women of goodwill, men and women who have a Christian background. So now we're going to get into it. You know, we had these secrets, as I mentioned before, about these various people. And there's one more. I don't know whether we'll have time to get to it, but there was still one more link with Hunter Biden and his laptop, a link to human trafficking. So all of these things, plus the CHICOM connection to the Biden family. This is truly a treasonous kind of government we have now that didn't stop this. The FBI, the DOJ, we wish that Trump could have done something a lot sooner with Section 230. We wish that some things had happened a year and a half ago, but now prayer can still save the situation, and we know that we must give in to whatever God's will is. If he wants us to learn our lesson, if the judgment is proceeding, it will come. But each of you out there knows that he takes care of you. He takes care of you with his purpose. I wasn't going to tell this, but I have to do it again, still one more time. In 1976, I was on my way home from Maryland to Pennsylvania, and I had had a rough April. The boyfriend I had been committed as a paranoid schizophrenic down in D.C., and I had to go along and watch that. A good friend of mine in a school system, she was a librarian. Her body was found in the woods, and we all thought that her boyfriend killed her. We don't know. But we waited in that school system, and think of that, the little children, where's Miss Wynn? Where's Miss Wynn? Day after day after day in her disappearance. That was a very great stress. Pardon me. There were other stresses in my own family right in that month. And so on my way home on 270, I was zooming along in my Plymouth satellite, and I reached over to see if I had my vitamins in a brown paper bag, and just that quickly, I lost control of the car. And it was a very mountainous section up there around Frederick, and I was heading toward the guardrail, and I knew if I go over there, I'm done for. I'm either crippled for life, brain damaged, or dead. And I just yelled out, "Oh, God, if you want me to live, please don't let me hit the guardrail." The car turned the other way and began making circles around and around in the road. And while this went on, time went into slow motion. I've never experienced anything like it before or since. And when I finally ended up, I pulled off, and two gentlemen were in a truck. One was a banker, and he was something like Lou's age now, a rather grandfatherly type. And he had his buddy. They were hauling wood to Crofton, Maryland. And he came over, and he says, "Oh, my goodness, are you all right?" He says, "And you know, you're one lucky woman that no traffic was coming." And then, just as he said those words, whiz, whiz, here came the traffic. I know that God used an angel to stop that traffic so that I could go round and round safely. And my life was spared. And I believe that my life was spared for that moment some years later when I stood in Lou's living room looking at his wonderful books, Sandburg's Lincoln. When those beautiful words came into my heart and soul, I didn't hear them audibly, but it was, "This is your destiny." And here we are. Lou and I are here. We are here. We're not a big program, no. But when we think about how the people, even on Fox, have to toe the line, they can't talk about the MMR vaccine's relationship to autism. No, they've gone silent on that. Even some of the very key commentators that we respect for a lot of courage and truth-telling, they are not able to tell you the truth, and we are. If we were a big, big Alex Jones-type program, our lives would be in danger. But God knew that, too. He knew that we will reach those he wants us to reach, whether or not they are in the bowels of the New World Order and they repent they think, I heard that woman talk about that amazing rescue in her car. I think I want to know that Savior. I want to know that Lord. Lou, and I could tell you many, many examples of how God has guided us. And Lou, you said to me in the earlier years when we didn't have as much response and we had virtually no money help, you said, Elizabeth, it only takes one Patrick Henry to hear the program. So we know that we're building something for the Lord, and he always tells us this program is precious to him. Those words are used in the Bible. So you see now, we must take heart. The fight is not over, and even if Biden gets into office, we'll probably still have the Republican Senate, and there'll be a purpose. But we're not giving in just yet. So now, let's take a look. As we were exposing some of these New World Order figures last time, let's look at the newly minted Arizona Senator Mark Kelly.
Yes, we all remember Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's blackface scandal that rose to haunt him. Now pictures from the past have emerged to haunt former astronaut and now Senator-elect Mark Kelly. They show him festively dressed up as none other than Adolf Hitler. But before we get to that in more detail, I wanted to talk about one other thing involving Mark Kelly.
And that's his wife, Gabby Giffords, isn't it?
That is,
and
yes.
You know, as I said before, in this work we're doing, a lot of papers pile up, a lot of information, and a lot of our good 9/11 information got transported to Pennsylvania, to a place where we really didn't move. So we can't always locate everything. But I do recall that there was a very keen New World Order analyst who had expressed some ideas about her shooting, that really they were going after a judge. There was a reason that the New World Order had to kill this judge, and she was just caught in the crossfire. And you know that the New World Order does things like this. Look at Steve Scalise at the baseball practice. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him out. So we do have sympathy for her, but
this article is from Big League Politics. We'll give you a few excerpts. The title, New Group of Turncoat Gun Owners is Being Launched to Push for Civilian Disarmament. This was published on October 21st by Jose Nino. Giffords, an anti-Second Amendment organization created by former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, is launching a new group of gun owners to challenge pro-gun groups across the nation. Building off a coalition that was set up in 2018, Gun Owners for Safety was recently unveiled and has chapters present in Colorado, Minnesota, and Texas. It will serve as a counterbalance against pro-gun organizations and will push for gun control measures nationwide. The pro-gun control movement is not playing around. They will use every strategy in the book to try to destroy the Second Amendment.
And Lou, you know, the article also talked about the corruption and all the problems in the NRA, and we know that's there, but also we have Gun Owners of America, and they came out strongly in support of Kyle Rittenhouse. So there are a lot of good people in America who are getting ready. Our local,
yes,
gun shop, you remember reading in our local newspaper here on the eastern shore of Maryland, let's not name the gun shop right now, let's not put in under the scrutiny, but this gun owner, rather the owner of the gun shop, has been in business, I think, 38 years, and he has never seen so many guns being bought as just at this very moment in time.
That's right, and he was saying that a great many of those are women who, you know, want to have a way to defend themselves. They see these riots on the TV, all this violence. No wonder they would want to have some kind of self-defense mechanisms.
Exactly. And you know, going on there, then I guess getting back to Mark Kelly and this kind of an odious persona that he took on, this Hitler costume, can you describe it a little bit? Didn't he have strange glasses and what did it look like? Did you?
Yes, they have a photograph in an article from National File. The title was Democratic Senate Candidate. Mark Kelly's yearbook shows him dressed as Hitler. The photograph on the front of the article shows a present-day photograph of him, and then it shows him dressed up in the typical Nazi uniform with a swastika armband, as if you look back in the history books, that was very common among the Nazis. Looks like he has a little small mustache, just like Hitler, and some sunglasses. I don't know whether Hitler wore sunglasses specifically, but it looks very, very much as if you could have taken that picture, let's say, in 1936, 1938, Nazi Germany. And then there are some others. Let's see. On the second page, it shows Mark Kelly's full yearbook page is seen here, including a photo of him wearing what appear to be the same pair of sunglasses used in the Hitler costume. In fact, it seems like pretty much the same picture. Apparently, it was at a Halloween party, because you can see a little sign up above, and other people in the photograph in various kinds of costumes. But Mark is right there with that Hitler costume. And yes, and next page it says the event in question was a Halloween mixer, you know, kind of a like a get-together, organized by the students at the Merchant Marine Academy. That was covered heavily in the yearbook. And then they show a photograph that was shared to a Facebook alumni group identifying Kelly by name and his position in the photo. That's a different style, more of an outdoor dress.
Is it also Nazi costume?
No, this particular one
is
just ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows a picture on the last page as he looked in his uniform in the Merchant Marine. Now, getting back to what we were talking about in a more general way, let's see.
I think we're thinking about the Nazi spirit, aren't we?
We sure are.
Re-emerging everywhere?
Yep, this Hitler mindset is alive and well, having morphed very far from adolescent Halloween-type masquerade balls. Under a Biden administration where the left is allowed to run further amok, this late summer scene may become the norm in a totally lawless America. And note that the Nazis calling their victims Nazis, and we have a little mention of that here. Let me see now.
Yes, we're going in now to look at the reality spiritually, the darkness of Lucifer.
All right. I've got to
now you have to find the,
yes, here we
the
go.
Article.
Yep. This is entitled, these are again some excerpts. Protesters in Philadelphia chase down and assault random citizens for being, quote-unquote, Nazis. September 2020, article by Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge. A video out of Philadelphia shows a man that a mob reportedly chased to his car. And by mob, we naturally mean a group of what appears to be kids in their early 20s, replete with a full Antifa Halloween costume of black hoods and masks. F off, Nazi scum, the supposed protesters, and that's in quotes, protesters can be heard saying. Get the F out of here. Someone yells while another mob member kicks and dents the person's car repeatedly. When the car drives off, after being dented and damaged, someone throws a rock at his back window. A third video shows a different angle of the assault, showing there was a dog in the back of the SUV at the time. The group can then be heard whooping and congratulating each other after the person drives away. One more Nazi taken care of, right?
Yes, and National File continues with this kind of a murderous spirit going on. This was October 20th, 2020, an article by Frankie Stocks. Video, Antifa members conduct occult ritual in Boston streets. Eat bloody heart, symbolic of Trump. Antifa radicals conducted what can only be described as an occult-style ritual on the streets of Boston, Massachusetts this weekend as members of the group burned American flags and ate a bloody heart symbolic of President Trump while countering a protest against left-wing political violence also held in the city. Video of the bizarre scene posted to Twitter by user Al the Great shows a group of sign and bullhorn wielding Antifa members gathered in the middle of a Boston city street, letting out exaggerated yells and shrieks as a member of the group begins to suck the blood out of a purported heart meant to symbolize that of President Trump. As the American flag burns beneath the feet of the heart-eating Antifa member, he falls to his knees and rips the heart in half, reveling as blood explodes onto his face amidst shouts of, "I'm on fire!" before another member appeals through a bullhorn, "To the chaos goddess, hear our cries!" After, you know, my gosh, Lou, it sounds like Bohemian Grove.
It does.
After rolling around on the ground in ecstasy, the heart eater is joined by fellow Antifa radicals in chants of praise to the chaos god and F Trump while running laps around a smoldering American flag. As left-wing political violence has skyrocketed over President Trump's first term in office, Black Lives Matter and Antifa-aligned radicals have turned increasingly friendly towards the occult and increasingly hostile towards Christianity. Over recent months, the group's left-wing extremists have attacked a number of churches and Christian idols, including the famed St. John's Church in Washington, D.C., as previously reported by National File in Troy, New York, Black Lives Matter and Antifa radicals stormed services at the Grace Baptist Church this summer, going as far as to physically attack parishioners and their children. Back in 2018, a group of anti-fascist witches, and that's in quotes, organized in Brooklyn, New York to put a, quote, hex on then-Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, though it wasn't very effective, as Kavanaugh was later confirmed to the nation's high court.
And Antifa eating a bloody heart in an occult ritual? Its sister in Satan, the BLM movement, is also shrouded in the same unusual hellish forces. The divided kingdom must expose not only political treason tonight, but also the war against God. Hail Satan! After terrorizing churches, BLM witchcraft expose. This is from Natural News on September 16th. There is now proof that there are very dark forces behind Black Lives Matter. And it's not just the blatant Marxism of its founders and leaders. The darkness literally includes summoning dead spirits and allowing them to work through BLM leaders. Sound crazy? BLM bosses admit it. And this is reprinted from thenewamerican.com. Clues about the true nature of BLM have been available for quite some time. Last month, Black Lives Matter activists terrorized church attendees in Troy, New York, while chanting, "Hail Satan." They even shrieked at black families and young mothers trying to get in the building. Just this week in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a church with a Black Lives Matter sign on it was torched by BLM activists. In a video that went viral this week, a mob of white BLM activists shout at a couple at a D.C. restaurant for refusing to raise their fists, with one activist asking the confused victims, "Are you a Christian?" Now, newly released audio recordings reveal the occult practices, ancestor worship, African paganism, and literal witchcraft of at least one of the national group's co-founders, as well as the founder of BLM's Los Angeles chapter. Apparently, the entire George Soros-funded leadership of BLM is involved in these practices as well. In the audio, BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors, who boasted in a TV interview of being a, quote, trained Marxist, unquote, revealed that she is also consulting spiritual entities and allowing them to, quote, work through her. "I am calling for spirituality to be deeply radical," she said. "We're not just having a social justice movement. This is a spiritual movement," unquote. Of course, Christians, pointing to Ephesians 6:12 and its reference to spiritual warfare, have been making this argument since the fruit of BLM became more clear. Destruction, hate, looting, burning, Marxism, division, riots, and more. But until recently, the spiritual nature of the struggle was simply inferred and deduced from the Bible and the news. Now the proof is available to all. In a recorded conversation with Cullors, BLM Los Angeles founder and California State University professor of, quote, African studies, unquote, Melina Abdullah, reveals more than she thought she should have. Quote, "Maybe I'm sharing too much, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly, right?" she explained. quote, like each of them seems to have a different presence and personality, you know? I laugh a lot with Lakeisha, you know. And I didn't meet her in the body, right? I met her through this work, unquote. Collis echoes the sentiments of Abdullah, quote, it's a very important practice. Hashtags are for us. A way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done, said Collis to one of the three founders of BLM. She went on to say, I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. Always, you know, in my tradition, you offer things that you, that your loved one who passed away would want, you know, whether it's like honey or tobacco, things like that. The trained Marxist and BLM co-founder continued, and that's so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us, unquote. Collis also admits that the very first thing BLM leaders do when they hear of a quote-unquote murder is to pray to the spirits and, quote, pour libation, unquote. Again, she emphasizes this is not just about race and social justice. Quote, at its core, it's a spiritual movement, she's continued. You can't pretend like that work is just organizing work. That's, you know, that's some serious stuff.
And, you know, Lou, we have to interject there that we have an altered consciousness. It's as though we have the New Age, summoning of the spirits and libation. The drinking is involved. Anything,
yes.
Drugs, drinking, to get into this state. And we had Madame Blavatsky doing stuff like this. We had her followers, the Theosophists, Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey especially was channeling the Ascended Masters. And then we had the Great Invocation. It's as if these groups, these radical BLMers and Antifa groups, are following that Great Invocation because it calls for death. The door is open to death. Go ahead, Lou.
The whole say his name, and that's in quotes, say his name mantra also has deep spiritual significance, according to Collis. Quote, when we say the names, right, so we speak their names, we say her name, say their names. We do that all the time, that you kind of invoke that spirit, and then those spirits actually become present with you. She explained, revealing something that virtually none of the, quote, useful idiots, unquote, attending BLM rallies understand.
And again, it's like the Porch Masons, isn't it?
It is, yes.
They don't realize what goes on at the 33-degree level. No, the secrets that we saw in your father's book. Your father was a Porch Mason, and your brother sent us some of the things from your family, and there was the Masonic Bible, and I saw it for myself. In your father's Masonic Bible, it was talking about the worship of Lucifer, the light bearer.
Yes, that's exactly
so,
right.
So, you know, if you are convicted hearing this program, if you're really channeling spirits, you have guides that you believe come into your life, maybe they're a form of Jesus, maybe they're Jesus returned, maybe they're John the Baptist, these things are delusions. And you would do well to go back to start to read the Bible, and that is the authorized King James Version that did not have the divinity of Jesus removed, did not have the Comforter verse removed, and so many other distortions being done to it. I once believed in reincarnation myself. I did numerology. I was interested in these things, that we're all connected and we're all going to be part of a great consciousness. But you see, what I failed to realize was that if we were to be taken back, like the believers in the Hinduism and the Buddhism and all of that, if we would be trying to retain our individuality, there would be no use. If these religions are true, we would all just return as little sparks into one divine circle. There wouldn't be any Lou, there wouldn't be any Elizabeth. The wonderful part about Jesus Christ is that he is our personal friend and Savior, died on the cross for our sins, and that we each are individuals beloved of him. He has counted the hairs on our head. And if he didn't love us as individuals, he wouldn't be doing that. You and I could go on for a couple hours how he has helped us individually and done things sometimes that we knew it was a special gift to us because it was so uniquely individual to us. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Yes, so we are a program that witnesses about Jesus Christ, and all you have to do is be convinced that you have committed sins. If you are convinced and you want to repent and you are deeply sorry when you think of how he died on that cross for us, an agonizing death, not just physically, think of the emotional and spiritual weight. We can't even begin to imagine it. So it is so important that some of these people can even be saved, perhaps, out of Antifa and BLM. Well, let's go on about this kind of a strange spiritual practice.
Patrice Cullors continued, quote, "Spirituality is at the center of Black Lives Matter, and I think that's not just for us. I feel like so many leaders and so many organizers are deeply engaged in a pretty important spiritual practice. I don't think I could do this work without that. I don't think I could do it as long as I've done it and as consistently. It feels like if I didn't do that, it would be antithetical to this work," unquote. Talk show host and Christian attorney Abraham Hamilton III first aired the audio recordings on August 19th during his show, The Hamilton Corner. His conclusion is that the conversation proves top BLM leaders are involved in witchcraft, quote, "summoning the spirits of the dead," unquote, and engaging in other satanic practices that are firmly condemned and strictly prohibited in the Bible. Hamilton explained, quote, "what they are describing in their adherence to the Yoruba religion of Ifa, to where they are summoning dead spirits," Hamilton explained before getting into more depth about the occult pagan practices. "What Cullors revealed," Hamilton continued, "is exactly what the Apostle Paul was referring to in Ephesians when he explained that Christians wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Quoting the Bible, Hamilton also noted the link between those who sacrifice children to demon gods, such as Moloch, abortion, and summoning spirits, witchcraft. Interestingly, the Yoruba were known for practicing human sacrifice until Christianity became more prevalent in the region. The Bible is very clear about what is happening here, as consulting spirits of the dead is strictly prohibited. In fact, under the Old Testament law revealed by God for Israel, necromancy, consulting the dead, was punishable by death. All those who do it are described as detestable to God. Multiple passages in the Old and New Testaments also suggest that the supposed spirits, in quotes, that necromancers and witches believe they are communicating with or sacrificing things to, are in fact demons. Professor Abdullah's voice message machine said she was on sabbatical for the 2019-2020 academic year. Nobody answered any of the other phone numbers listed at the Pan-African Studies Department, and messages seeking comment by the New American were not returned. Abdullah did not respond to an email before press time.
And the second part of this article, Lou, starts with terrorizing churches. Even before the audio became public, the true nature of BLM was becoming obvious for all to see. Last month, supposedly responding to a church's giveaway of an AR-15, BLM activists terrorized black and white churchgoers alike in Troy, and that would be Troy, New York. They literally beat Christian adults and harassed little children while shouting obscenities and chanting, "Hail Satan!" A young mother and her very young children, as well as a black family, had to be escorted by church members through the screaming mob of BLM supporters. The mob threatened to call Child Protective Services on parents in the church and started shrieking, "Save those kids!" as families walked by. At least one protester even threatened to torch the church. While the scenes at Grace Baptist Church were captured on video and made headlines across conservative-leaning independent media, the establishment's propaganda organs had a virtual blackout on the story. only the local paper ran an article, a highly biased, quote, biased article against the church. No politicians rushed to condemn the violence and hatred on display. The government official involved has not been fired. The mob was angry about a variety of issues, especially the church's decision to give away an AR-15 rifle. On several occasions over the last decade, the church has given away or raffled off the classic and highly popular AR-15 rifle, partly in response to unconstitutional government attacks on the right to keep and bear arms. The church said on social media that it had no regrets over its decisions. Much of the barbarism was caught on video. One clip, for instance, shows violent BLM supporters physically attacking church members. At about 1:20 in the video, a protester can be seen grabbing a church attendee and putting him in a headlock after a verbal spat. Another BLM activist then begins savagely beating the victim, throwing punch after punch after punch. A man identified by the church as Alexander Contompasis was seen punching two church members from behind before pushing the pastor. Police eventually show up to stop the physical attacks on churchgoers. In a statement to the New American, Pastor John Colitas said the church has stood firmly against communism and totalitarianism since it was founded in 1987. Too many Americans view the church as weak and apathetic to self-defense and the biblical command to arm ourselves, he said, explaining the decision to give away a semi-automatic rifle in light of that and unconstitutional gun control policies. We wanted to be an encouragement to lawful gun owners who had been vilified by the anti-Christian socialist media and fake, phony, and fraudulent religious leaders. When this year's gun giveaway was announced, it brought out the God-haters and devilish forces again, Colitas continued, adding that the reasons for the attack by the BLM mob included anger over the church continuing to hold services during coronavirus, the preaching, and the promotion of firearms ownership through the AR-15 giveaway. All were angry that we refused to back down on all accounts. Colitas expressed shock about the screaming mob of BLM activists who mocked and jeered a black missionary family that was attending. Making matters worse is that the police refused to intervene until the mob actually became physically violent, Colitas said. In fact, they even sent some church members away rather than protect their rights to religious liberty, freedom of association, and private property from the angry BLM mob. A black couple from our church was turned away by the police because of the mob. Tonight might not be the best day to go to church, he continued. So I guess that's what the police said. The pastor responded to the hate and extremism by inviting the mob inside, hoping for peaceful dialogue and that the angry protesters would benefit from hearing about the Bible. Some went in, but when invited to receive salvation, they became disruptive, with some again threatening violence and bearing false witness against the pastor, he explained. And we could interject there that when demonic spirits have taken hold of someone, they are furious. They don't want to be called out of the person. All of that evil should have been evidence enough to understand the reality of what is going on and what BLM is really about. But the true spiritual nature of the BLM mob was even more clearly evident throughout the mob's rampage. According to Colitas and other witnesses, as well as video evidence, an actual witch stood outside the church with candles and ritual drawings. Cries of "Hail Satan" could be heard clearly, too. The spiritual implications of the billionaire-funded BLM attack on America are becoming clearer. As the New American has been documenting for months, the Marxism and the hatred of the BLM has been beyond dispute for quite some time. Now the occult connections of the leadership and the spiritual nature of the battle are beyond dispute, too. BLM is not just an attack on liberty, property, statues of great Americans, history, and Western civilization. It is an attack on Christianity and God, too. Churches must take their rightful place on the front lines. And Lou, I think at this time it's important that we have tried to tell our listeners of the divided kingdom that they're not to give up hope and they are to pray for God to foil the evil plans of the New World Order. And I believe it is time, if you would want to call our listeners of the Divided Kingdom to prayer.
We just invite you all to pray with us now. Oh Lord, we pray that you will foil the evildoers who are trying to unlawfully sway this election. Defeat their attempts to create votes out of thin air. Grant us patience to await the final results, for you can cause righteousness to triumph, just as you did at the time of the impeachment of the president, and when Mr. Trump recovered from the coronavirus. Grant that our zeal not flag. We just put our trust in you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Lou, and I believe that you have the next item coming up.
I believe I do, and this is entitled, Radical Leftists Plan Violent Takeover of D.C. After the Election. And this was just Tuesday, November 3rd, from Natural News by Ethan Huff. Our nation's capital is the target of a violent post-election overthrow. Lisa Fithian, a longtime revolutionary and far-left activist, is encouraging her comrades to bring their guns and, quote, take over the buildings, unquote, throughout Washington, D.C. after November 3rd, apparently because she expects another Trump win. Fithian has an extensive history of community organizing, having stirred up the violent demonstrations that led to the shutdown of the 1999 World Trade Organization, WTO, meetings in Seattle, Washington. Police resorted to using tear gas to break up the protest, delaying the opening of the third WTO conference that was scheduled at that time. Fithian also became one of the lead organizers of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Training other activists is one of Fithian's fortes, as she was seen on camera in 2011 instructing public school teachers from Chicago how to stage being arrested by police. Fithian also held training sessions around St. Louis during the infamous Ferguson riots of 2014. As for the November 3rd election, Fithian wants to completely take over D.C. with the help of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Some federal employees are also getting involved as they scheme how to cause violence and chaos in the election's aftermath. Leaked Zoom footage shows Fithian and her comrades coming up with plans to take over and shut down not just D.C., but various other large American cities after Election Day. Fithian states in the footage, quote, we've been working on a target map and a framework for scenario. So where are all the police stations? Where are all the key government buildings? Who are the Trump boosters, unquote. Fithian says, quote, get ready to shut your city down on the 4th or the 5th. In a short video posted by Millennial Millie, clips from the Zoom meeting are presented to show what Fithian and her comrades have planned, regardless of who wins the election, according to Millie. Describing it as a, quote, multi-level coup mission exercise, unquote, Millie unpacks what these far leftists have planned for the country in the coming days and who is helping them to do it. Utilizing insider help from the members of the Democratic Party, along with federal employees and intelligence contractors, Fithian's army of political crusaders is ready to unleash hell. One woman who participated in the Zoom meeting claims to have worked as a contractor for the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, while another says she works in the national security community. These and other in-the-know folks admitted during the live stream that they work with the mainstream media to leak key information and intelligence that's intelligence relevant to the mission at hand. In return, the mainstream media covers for them by hiding their identities. Fithian warned while speaking to the group, quote, we are going to be in a crisis, but we want it to be one that we are creating. Whoever's got the guns can win. Let's take over the buildings. If there are people that are willing to do that, we should support that. Get ready to shut your city down on the 4th or the 5th, unquote. Should you encourage any street-level violence or agitation in the days following the election, chances are Fithian and her network of agitators is somehow responsible. Quote, these commies are the real enemies, but the FBI concocts ridiculous plots in Michigan and entraps people who otherwise wouldn't have committed crimes, noted one commentator at the Gateway Pundit, about the miscarriage of justice at the federal level that allows these types of violent plots to proceed.
And of course, that writer was alluding to the fake action of the kidnapping, so-called kidnapping of Governor Whitmer. And this same story, we have a little more on that from Natural News, Ethan Huff, November 3rd. Federal workers caught in Zoom call plotting White House coup. A new report by CD Media reveals that far leftists are scheming how to take over the White House, Congress, and a myriad of federal buildings following the election. No matter who wins, disruption is the name of the game for these extremists who have developed a well-coordinated plan to shut down federal buildings, including the White House, public transportation portals, and disrupt Congress when it returns post-election. Leaked video footage depicts federal workers discussing actions and decisions that will need to be made with their, quote, immediate spheres of influence, end of quote, in order to bring about the desired coup d'etat. One woman is seen and heard discussing preparations for various left-wing activist groups to cross red lines, suggesting the escalation of protests to riots and other more extreme forms of demonstration. Fellow comrades, as the woman in the video puts it, need to think about different actions that can be taken well beyond street protests and demonstrations, kind of sustained organizing and action. In another leaked video, a group called Shutdown DC details plans to accomplish what its name suggests, the full shutdown of Washington, D.C. And I think there's just a little bit more on that. In fact, I think we're going to just go now to another article that is from Breitbart News, and it's reporting, this was November 3rd, I believe, conflict expert issues chilling warning. If Trump wins, thousands of people could storm White House. And they talk about the left-wing Democrat mayor of D.C. may be complicit. And this was J. Michael Waller, vice president for government relations at the Center for Security Policy. And he told a webinar with reporters last week that federal officials must be prepared to deal with large violent mobs descending on the nation's capital following Election Day and possibly attacking the White House if Trump wins. And he said that D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is playing a role in what could be post-election violence by instructing the city's police to stand down when protests become violent, even if their targets are senior officials in the White House or Congress. And the violent extremists are planning to use the BLM Plaza area, about the size of three football fields marked in red, as a staging area for a mob siege to attack the White House complex. D.C., as the seat of the U.S. government, is a special case where it's proper to federalize city police and National Guard. The Fed should enlarge the security perimeter around the White House along my aquamarine lines, 18th Street to the west, K Street to the north, and 14th Street to the east. And now, because our program time is getting short, I was going to talk about some of the voter fraud. Just a few headlines here because Lou has an important part to get to. Criminal Colorado Secretary of State urging non-citizens and dead people to register to vote so she can help steal the state for Democrats. That was October 7th, Natural News. Another headline, yes, dead Democrats really do vote. Florida officials uncover massive ballot fraud. There is an organized effort to register dead Democrats using mail-in voting applications. That was November 3rd. Now, Florida is in the can, isn't it, Lou? Safely in the can.
Yes, fortunately
for
it is.
And
yes.
Now we had destroy Trump ballots, demands New York Times and Atlantic magazine writer, and that was a guy named John Schwartz, and he brags how he did a lot of tampering with votes. The destruction of Trump ballots dating all the way back to 2016. And so then we had tens of thousands of ballots dropped off at USPS boxes at Detroit Absentee Ballot Processing Center at 3:30 a.m. after election. So this is very current. This was published on November 4th by Shane Trejo at Big League Politics. I wish we had more time to get into this very quickly. Tens of thousands of absentee ballots arrived in large U.S. Postal Service boxes at the TCF Center in Detroit, Michigan on Wednesday morning at 3:30 a.m. The TCF Center, formerly Cobo Hall, is where the absentee ballots are counted for Wayne County, which is the home of Detroit. And the total number of ballots dumped on the counting board totaled 38,000. So there are a lot of shenanigans going on. Lou, you have an important article now to conclude with.
I do. Trump wins the election, but Democrats now working overtime to steal it by fabricating hundreds of thousands of votes in Michigan and
Wisconsin. This is Natural News.
That's right. And dated November 4th, 2020. Trump won the election last night, taking Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and North Carolina, among other anchor states like Florida and Texas. As TGP reports, in Pennsylvania, Trump was ahead by nearly 700,000 votes. In Michigan, Trump was ahead by over 300,000 votes. In Wisconsin, Trump was ahead by 120,000 votes. But in the middle of the night, Democrats went to work stealing the election by fabricating fake voting numbers in Michigan and Wisconsin. To carry out the fraud, the Dems shut down vote reporting until 3:30 a.m., and then magically, out of nowhere, Biden jumped up 200,000 votes without a single vote for Trump. Thus is the rigging underway. And the article has some good charts that show that in graphic form, exactly how the lead suddenly vanished that Mr. Trump hit, and all at once. And it says in Michigan, the vote magically jumped up 138,000 for Biden in the middle of the night without a single new vote for Trump. It's rigged. Goes on to say, as the Epoch Times reports, quote, last night I was leading, and this is Trump's words, last night I was leading often solidly in many key states, in almost all instances, Democrat-run and controlled. Trump wrote at about 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Then, one by one, they started to magically disappear as surprise ballot dumps were counted. Very strange. And the pollsters, and he's got that in quotes, the pollsters got it completely and historically wrong, unquote. Big League Politics also reports on the apparent fraud that took place in the middle of the night while America slept. They say tens of thousands of absentee ballots arrived in large U.S. Postal Service boxes at the TCF Center in Detroit, Michigan, Wednesday morning at 3:30 a.m. The TCF Center, and this overlaps with what Elizabeth said, formerly Cobo Hall, is where the absentee ballots are counted for Wayne County, home
yes.
of Detroit.
And does the article mention that we may have recourse to the Supreme Court?
I believe it does further down, yes.
Get right to that.
Yes. Well, let me see if I can spot that those exact words.
Because we haven't given up yet.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is a major fraud on the election. So we will be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all of the vote. We want all of the voting to stop. We don't want them to find any votes at 4 a.m. in the morning. We will win this. And as far as I'm concerned, we will have already won. That was because of the words of the president.
And we need your prayers. As we prayed before, pray more. Pray with faith. And pray for those little babies who've been murdered before they're born. And think of how President Trump has stood up for them. God may yet make a miracle. Good night.